This is Unpacking Design, a podcast to help designers of all kinds better themselves in career, business, and life. Join me, Mike LaValle, and my co-host, Tim Ong, as we unpack the problems designers face every day. Welcome to Season 2 of Unpacking Design, Life Lessons to My Younger Self. Each episode this season is a raw and unfiltered dive into what we wish we knew years ago. Since we can't turn back the clocks for ourselves, we hope that these masterclass discussions will help you on your own journey. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design. I'm here with my friend Tim Ong, and we are talking about the first lesson in a new series called Life Lessons to My Younger Self. This is the first of 12 episodes where we dive deep into the lessons that Tim and I have learned the hard way through experience and our own life. So the first lesson that I want to talk about today is a pretty simple one, but we're going to dive deep into the reasons why I learned this for myself and what I would teach my younger self or tell my younger self to do if I had the chance. And that's to pace yourself. So the first place that I want to start with that is trying to do all the things at once will lead to mediocrity or burnout. Neither is where you want to be. And for many of you, you know from listening to me talk about it before, I burned myself out before, and I didn't pace myself, and it was something that ultimately caught up with me. As you spread yourself thin, everything you do becomes less impactful because there is a cost to switching between it all. In early 2017, I had come to the end of my rope. I was trying to run a blog, create a 7-hour course, work a 9-to-5 job, be a good husband and friend, and I was trying to develop a life based on the effort of 5 people instead of 1. There's a time to sacrifice for something you believe in. It's not that you shouldn't put effort into something, but when you spend all of your time trying to do everything to get you to your goals without focusing on one thing at a time, everything starts to fall apart slowly or suddenly. I remember when I was in the middle of burnout. And to be very clear, it was actually burnout. I had been doing so many different things that I just had this kind of come to Jesus moment conversation with my wife, where she looked at me and she just said, "Mike, you're running yourself ragged and this really isn't working." And I knew in that moment that I had neglected myself, my health. I was overweight. I had been putting all these different things that, you know, in the moment, they mean something to you. They mean something to you because you feel like you are making progress. And so you kind of trick yourself into thinking that all of these different things are adding up to something cumulative that will help you in the long run. But when you're not pacing yourself and when you're not actually taking something one at a time, it can lead to sudden burnout, or in the case of spreading yourself too thin, it can also make everything sort of seem watered down and mediocre in comparison to what you would get from focusing on one thing. And more recently, I actually happened upon a book called The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And the thesis of that book is really to ask yourself, what is one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary? It asks you, what is the big picture that you have for yourself? And what is the one thing that you can do in the next 5 years, 1 year, month, week, today, that'll help you get there? And Tim, I wanted to kind of break this down with you a little bit more. And I just wanted to ask, have you ever found yourself in a place where you've been doing so many different things that it either leads to mediocrity or, you know, less of a quality to your work, or it ultimately leads to you as a person burning out?
You know, for me, I feel like I'm always working on so many things simultaneously. And you and I have spoken about it many times in the past. The fact that I'm always developing either a blog, YouTube channel, architecture project, business on the side, all these different things have been part of my life. The difference between the way that you and I operate, though, is that it seems as if for you, you've always planned out how you wanted to do something. But for me, I've always seemed to just jump right in. And so with that in mind, there are times when I'm doing so much that I feel like I'm actually not moving anywhere. And I don't know if that makes sense, but in a lot of cases, the best example is when I was trying to develop a leather business where I was hand-making leather products, and I was trying to run a blog where I was developing architecture projects that were speculative. At some point, I just found myself giving up on one in order to focus on the other. And that's kind of what the sentence is referring to that you originally started with, that you shouldn't try and do all things at once because it'll lead to burnout or mediocre work and content. And I really started to feel that way because my content was getting so watered down because I couldn't focus enough time on each thing. So for me, I eventually decided to take a step back and let go of so many of the things I was doing so that I can actually fill my time in my life with the things that I enjoyed doing. And the moment that I figured that out was when I burned out with the leather company. It wasn't a full-on burnout, but it was one that taught me a big lesson because I felt so sad as I was doing it, where I was developing so many products and selling it, making profit, but it wasn't fulfilling to me anymore because I turned a passion into a business and it just took over my life to the point where I wasn't developing anything and having fun. With that said, though, I also like to approach it from the opposite end where, for me, I also want to focus on trying something new that I think I want to do and at least giving it a full attempt before I say that it's not worth it or that it is. And I think that that's important to mention because not everyone knows exactly what they want to just jump in and focus on. But when you start to find it, that is the thing that you should go all in on because you'll learn the biggest lessons from it and it might turn into something more.
Yeah, I love that. One thing that I want to kind of follow up with you on before we move to the next sort of idea here in this pace yourself topic is something you said about jumping in and then once you kind of get a taste for it and I guess once it activates somewhere for you as something that you want to actually pursue, it gets me to this idea that we've talked a lot about offline about the idea of almost packaging your life in a series of projects. This idea comes from Start Finishing by Charlie Gilkey, which we've talked a little bit about on the podcast before. And the idea there is that if you imagine yourself right now, wherever you are, whether you're 20 or right now I'm 36, if you're imagining your life as a series of projects, you know, he kind of suggests that there are windows of about 3 to 5 years where you can actually take on a significant project in your life and actually that is enough time to really see it through. So as an example, if you start a business, it might take a few years for it to really start to see some momentum and gain some steam and move forward before it's really a positive impact on your life. I know that you work in, just from knowing you, I know that you work in a different way than I do, and you tend to dive into things. What is the sort of timeline that you give yourself for, you know, you said like you're going to commit to something. What is the timeline you kind of give to yourself for those projects?
I actually don't give myself a timeline to them. The way that I approach it is I actually just try the projects that I have in mind out and I go with the gut feeling. And I just let each project organically grow. If it's starting a YouTube channel, I give it a true shot. And if I find myself not wanting to do another YouTube video, I just stop. And I use that as my test. Because if I'm not feeling it in my heart and I'm not feeling it in my gut, it's not worth doing. So for me, I always stop now when I feel like it's not something I want to do instead of forcing it. And I think that's the biggest lesson I learned. That many people try and force what they're doing so that it can work. But in many cases, it turns into something that burns you out because you're forcing yourself to do something that you hate. So that's what I would say about it.
Yeah, I love that. I think Just to come back to something that I know you've been talking a lot about is this idea of the dip. And I wonder if you could maybe reflect a little bit on that, this idea from Seth Godin about pursuing something for a period of time and then falling into this sort of dip stage where a lot of people just kind of drop off from something. I don't think that what you're saying is the same thing, but could you maybe clarify the difference?
Yeah. So if you guys are interested in a great read, and it's a short read too, it's a book by Seth Godin called The Dip. And what he talks about in the book is this idea that everyone who's pursuing something will eventually reach a point in that thing, in that pursuit, where you actually feel as if you're not making any more progress, that all the things you're doing is starting to come to a halt. You're not seeing growth in terms of people following you. You're not seeing monetary growth. You're not seeing any money, in fact, because it's something you were trying. And at that point, everyone starts to feel like they're not going anywhere. And it's in that moment where you need to know that you can either push through and get beyond that dip to reach the other end where you find momentum again, or you'll eventually quit. It's a matter of when. And most people can't identify if they should quit and when they should do that. And when everyone thinks about the term quitting, they always think about that term as being so negative. But quitting something early can actually help you find the real thing that you should be doing. And so with that in mind, for me, when I'm pursuing a new project, there are a lot of moments where I reach the dip. I always reach the dip. It shows up in any way, shape, and form as I'm pursuing something, because I start to feel in my heart that it's just not worth doing because of, and then you fill in the blank. For me, it's always, I've been doing all this stuff. I've been doing this YouTube channel. I'm not seeing people following me. I'm not seeing people watching my content. I'm not being discovered. And you start coming up with these reasons. In a lot of cases, that's where you start to question, is what I'm doing something I actually want to do? And when you start questioning that, it's important to lean into it and get to the bottom of it. Because for me, if I felt like my quantifier of success was based on my follower count, I wouldn't be YouTubing anymore, because my follower count is something that is derived from a subjective perspective of other people on Instagram and what people value around us. When I actually get down to what I value, it was the idea of developing projects from the design stage all the way to the end and showcasing the process. And if I lost sight of that value, I wouldn't know why I'm pursuing this in the first place. So for me, it's not about the follower count. It's actually about learning through this process and sharing that with other people so they can see my growth and so I can document my own growth. Now, with that in mind, the dip doesn't even matter at this point, because there's nothing that's quantifying my failure and success rate, with the exception of the value that I just shared. If I start to find that I'm not learning and growing and that I've lost that excitement, I wouldn't want to pursue that project. And that's the moment I would quit.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, because it's not about, like, things will get difficult, right? Like I remember thinking to moments when I was writing Evolving Architect, the blog, and there would be times where I didn't like a specific thing that I needed to do, right? Like I didn't like scheduling posts specifically, or like the administrative kind of managerial type tasks. I liked writing the blog post, but it's part of that process. And that's a different thing than, I even said it in the same sentence, I loved writing the blog post. So for me, writing the post itself and pursuing that as an effort is different than getting stuck with the things that might cause a dip that are just part of the natural process. Like you lose that excitement a little bit over time. Certain things are going to come up as things that are thorns in your side or what have you. But I think you put it really beautifully, where it's about a value. It's about pursuing something that is valuable to yourself so that that's your metric. It's not a metric that is kind of a clickbaity social media modern number metric. It's something that is personal to you. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, going back to that leatherworking story briefly, that's exactly where you could see this happen, where, yes, in the eyes of other people, the leather business was something I should have continued because it was already bringing in profit and I was good at doing it. The issue with the dip there wasn't so much that I wasn't making money off of it. It was more that for me, I turned myself into a human machine where I was manufacturing handmade products with my own two hands. And at that point, the dip came because for me, I questioned my values against what I was quantifiably earning. And in that case, my time and my health and my energy was being spent to produce something to give away in one sale to somebody else. And I couldn't deal with that because for me, that wasn't valuable to me. I'm not a person who focuses on money in that way, but it took that lesson for me to really get into it with myself and apply it to everything that I do now. But it was in that moment where I saw the differences between my values and the quantifiers that came with it because of the subjective ways that we think due to society.
Yeah, that's great. I really like that, the way you put that, Tim. I want to transition the discussion into a new, let's call this a mini lesson or a new sub theme here. And when I think about pacing myself or what I would kind of instill into my younger self, I think one of the little lessons that I learned is to learn to embrace stillness and to live in the moment instead of pressuring the future to happen in the, you know, quote unquote, perfect way. So I don't sit well. I'm actually a very patient person in the long run and can wait for the long haul for results to happen, but I don't sit still. I think you know this about me, Tim. I am constantly telling you about the newest app, about the newest thing, about the newest whatever, the widget. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. I'm probably always pursuing something crazy and fun and new. And I always need to be doing something else, really, is what it comes down to. And it's led to attacking all the things rather than settling down and focusing on one thing at a time that I need to give my energy to. I'm excited to see where something goes, and I kind of jump all in. And that's actually been something that has worked against me for pacing myself. Even in the recent times, I will sometimes pursue things like Instagram. And as you know, I will go all in on that for like a solid month and a half or two and love making carousels, love making posts, and then have like these mini burnouts from not actually pacing myself. It's not that I don't enjoy doing it. It's that I'm putting so much effort into the one thing that I don't think about just, it's okay if it doesn't, you know, a new post doesn't come out literally every day or things like that. And to go back even farther in my past, I remember working late nights in college on projects at studio. And this is kind of a common tale for a lot of architecture and design students. And I remember thinking, you know, my friends are out there somewhere. You know, sometimes there would be just me and maybe one other kid or two in studio late nights. And I was kind of like that. I was always that like studious kid who wanted to do the best they could in school. And I remember thinking my friends are out there drinking, partying, doing whatever they're doing. And not that I ever really wanted to do those things specifically, but I look back and recognize that I wasn't living in the moment with those friends. I was pursuing these things so hard when it, you know, I would find, and architecture is so interesting and fascinating to me that we could talk about it separately. I would find a new system that I wanted to integrate into a project, or I found something else that I want to pursue as like a new thing I was finding. And this idea of not embracing the stillness was kind of catching up to me. And while I still know a lot of those friends, I wasn't living in the moment. So then I know a lot of people from my graduating class, but they're not really friends as I would describe maybe my relationship with you, Tim, where there's actually like a connection there. I maintain a relationship of friendship with you, and I let my life just sort of happen, and wasn't really paying attention in the moment. And I was trying to force a career that I wanted for myself, as though every step I was making, everything that I was pursuing was going to lead to this like magical, like perfect vision of my future. Looking to the future as though it's something that you can go get for yourself, I think is counterproductive in some ways, because it objectifies time and completely sort of misses the point that a lot of, if not everything in our future is kind of out of our control. Like we can set ourselves up for success, but there's so much to serendipity that if you're not paying attention to the present and living each day as though it's important right then, I think it starts to shape your future in a way that is potentially really bad. So I think of this quote from, and it's actually the name of a song as well, from Our Lady Peace, called "Happiness is not a fish that you can catch." And it's kind of a cheesy quote, but it's also something that I think about a lot, because it's not like you can go out there and just like like find happiness, you know. It's not like a thing. And I think in some ways it's about having this balance every day of being still, living in the moment, still being patient and trying to pursue things. I don't want to say that it's not worth pursuing stuff, but I find that there's something I'm learning later in life that I wish I could tell my younger self to just live more in the moment, because I would rather have my memories be about hanging out with those friends than still having those friends in my life than to remember myself sitting in studio as often as I did, and just thinking about the future that ultimately wasn't even the future that I have right now. It's not a bad future. It's just a different future. So I don't know if you've thought about sort of living in the moment for yourself, Tim, or if you're, I know you're always looking ahead, but I think you in particular of the people I know are also just very interested in pursuing kind of the everyday and things that you're working on every day. I think you're living in multiple ways, the present and the future. And I wanted to kind of get your take on how you operate.
Yeah. You know, I love this one as a mini lesson, because I think learning to embrace the stillness and being present is probably the hardest thing I had to learn. And I focused on it as I was reflecting, I think 2 years ago. I thought about this idea of why I felt disappointed when I started to feel as if I was letting go of Journey of an Architect, which is my blog. And the reason why I felt that way based on that reflection was that I realized I was setting myself up with this vision of what Journey of an Architect could be and what it could become, that in my mind, I wanted to get there so quickly. I was excited about the vision, and I could also clearly see how I could get there. But every day that I worked on it, I didn't actually see how long it would take me to get to that point. So the vision I saw was probably a 15 to 20 year vision. The actual attempt at achieving the vision, I was trying to condense into 5 years. And in that moment, I started to realize that because I was doing that, and because I was focusing so hard on trying to get to that vision, I actually lost sight of why I was pursuing it. And also, I was setting myself up for disappointment every day. Because every day that I thought about that vision and why I wasn't getting there quicker, I was disappointed in myself. And I kept working so hard to try and get there. And each day, it just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. And that's that feeling of the dip that I was talking about earlier. But this is also related to being present. Because if you were actually present and you had a grand vision of the future, but it was a future that you knew you had to get there in a longer period of time through consistent practice, you would actually accept the fact that you need to spend the time to do the thing until you eventually get there. It's an eventual process. It's not an immediate process. So that's what I really wanted to share about it. And the story that comes to mind is from the documentary on Netflix right now that's called The Last Dance. It's a documentary about Michael Jordan. And there's an episode towards the end where one of the people that was being interviewed was a sportscaster following Michael Jordan for a long time. And the one thing he said was, you will never find someone who can be as present as Michael Jordan was. And when what he meant by that was, every time someone asked Michael Jordan if he felt like he was going to win this game or anything like that, he would always say, I don't know, we'll see. I'm just here to play. And for him, it was about the practice and doing his best that day. Because as long as he gave it his best, then the game, no matter what the outcome was, couldn't have been changed. And so he's so present on trying to actually achieve something that day, that no matter what the outcome is, it was something he accepted to be out of his control. And there was a moment where you could see it in that documentary where he was playing in a game and he had to take the last shot. And he said the moment he took the last shot, the ball was in the air. And for those few seconds, the whole stadium was silent because that shot could have helped the Bulls win that game. And in those few seconds of silence, everyone knew that nothing could change whatever that ball was about to do. And he said it was cute that people held their breath for 10 seconds as the ball was in the air. Because to him, it didn't matter if it made it in or not. It was the fact that he tried his best with that shot. And I think that's true to what I do now, that everything I do is based on me learning and trying to get better. Because I need to do that in order to get to that vision that I have. I can't just expect myself to be the best architect in the world if I haven't put in the reps to have gotten me there. And as I keep putting in my shot, the other thing I'm learning is that when I share my work on Instagram and social media, it's not about the likes I get. It's actually about the feedback. And that feedback is growing with time because people are now joining me on a journey. They're not joining me to see a beautiful picture anymore. So for me, it started to shift everything from being in the future to being as present as I could, because I'm focusing every moment of my life and my time on getting better every day.
Yeah, I love that. I think that the idea of really just sort of showing up and, you said, putting in the reps for, you know, the vision that you have for yourself, I think is a really great way of thinking about it, because I think about it in terms of a very simple analogy. So if you, as an example, are trying to lose weight or exercise a lot more and get healthier, it's not about just one day, you know, for a week. Like, okay, well, I'm gonna eat better, and then magically I'm gonna look like all these like fitness models who are, you know, ripped and like trying to just sort of show off all the things that they've done. That's taken years. That's taken months and years and time, but it's taken time in the sense that they show up probably every day. They're eating well on a regular basis, and it's become integrated. I think that's kind of the word that I think of, Tim, is integration of these habits and these moments of stillness into your life, where, you know, Michael Jordan is a great example of somebody who is probably more aggressive in what they're pursuing than most people. But the lesson that I take from his experience, as you were describing, is that he understands that the most he can do is to practice as much as he can in his way to get better. But to your point, there's this moment, there's this 10 second moment, there's this moment where you're holding your breath and you have to just trust that you've done everything that you can. There's nothing, you don't have control over everything. And I think when you realize, and for me, when I realized that I shouldn't even try to have control over everything, I've actually started to become happier as a result of that, because it's not about being lazy towards pursuing something. It's about just accepting that the only thing I can control is what I can control. And then there's a lot of things out there in life, in the world, call it fate, call it whatever, that are just not in your control. And it actually just kind of messes with the natural pace that you're trying to pursue. I did want to shift it here now to, you started talking a little bit about kind of the longer term nature of some of the things that you're pursuing. And I think this is a good segue into talking about this other mini lesson, which is that life is long and there will be enough time to taste many different things and to do it deliberately. So I think of the analogy of, or even back to my own youth, I guess. I remember being in middle school and high school and thinking, wow, I've decided that I want to be an architect. You know, like I really just want to pursue this all in. I was lucky in some ways that I had found that for myself. I still believe that I am and will always be an architect. And I, in those moments where I was like basically a decade away from actually getting my license, I mean, real time, a decade away, I just remember thinking, I just want this to keep moving. I just want this to keep going. And I think that's part of the reason why I got into trouble with pacing myself is that when you're in your younger years, you want to get propelled forward into your future, right? I think there's this sense of excitement. You're energized, you're youthful, you have a lot of momentum building up for yourself. You have an idea of what you want to do. And even if you don't know exactly what you want your career to be, you probably have a sense of like the kind of person that you could be in the future. And then I'm noticing I'm a little bit older than you are, Tim, but I think that overall I'm starting to get to a point where personally, I've never been a person who believes that age is a problem to fight against. I have a lot of friends who will joke about, oh, I'm getting older and I don't know what to do about it. I don't find myself really being that way. I just kind of naturally accept what stage of life I'm in. But I do realize that the time perceptually for me is getting faster. And I think that as you get older, this sense of time, like a year seems to just sort of in an instant, just like disappear. Like we think about how I attribute it to you have a birthday or you have a holiday that comes up and you remember that last year and it's like, oh wow, this feels like it was just yesterday. Didn't we just do this like recently? I think that in some ways for me for a while and for other people forces them to hurry up. Like they need to hurry up because they feel like they don't have enough time to actually get everything done because they realize or they think of the fact that there is a limited amount of time and that is true. But I think it makes people anxious about the time that they do have. And to counteract that, I think of this video. It's a very popular video on his YouTube channel. It's probably one of the best videos I think he's ever actually done. Gary Vaynerchuk is one of the entrepreneurial class acts of our time that we talk about a lot, Tim. And he made a video a few years back called 6 Minutes for the Next 60 Years of Your Life. And one of the things that Gary talks about a lot in his talks, in his books and things, is that you have time. You know, whether you are 20 or 60, you still have time to pursue things that you want to pursue. It's just a matter of putting your first foot forward and accepting that you can do whatever you really want to do. If you want to start a business tomorrow, you can do that. It's just, again, it goes back to this overall theme that we're talking about of pacing yourself. And I think about how life really is long. It's a matter of making clear decisions on what you want to focus on, at least for me. So going back to, we were talking a little bit about Start Finishing by Charlie Gilkey, and he goes further into this. And the analogy I was making is that his thesis in his book was that you need about 3 to 5 years for each of these major projects, right? And if you calculate how much that is, so let's say, you know, I'm 35 right now and I'm going to live to about 85. Let's just say that that's a nice, hopeful number to hear for me. that means that I have about 50 years of projects, and I could do substantive things like start a business, write a book. It could be a personal goal, like run a marathon. You know, these are things that you could pursue in these 3-ish to 5-year windows. That gives me about, you know, at the worst end, 10 projects, at the high end, maybe more like 15. But when you think about that, if you had like 15 moments, 15 things that you could look back on your life when you're older and say, you know, I really pursued these and I enjoyed my life while I was doing it. And I enjoyed the process, you know, going back to your ideas about the process and pursuing that over sort of objectives. I think that's one of the things that I actually recently have been thinking a lot more about. I'm questioning sort of what I want to do. It sounds cheesy, but with the rest of my life. And I just think about the fact that life really is long. And I want to get your take on how you perceive time in your life and if you kind of agree or disagree.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. And when you were talking about this mini lesson here about life being long and having enough time to test different things and to see what's true to you, I think it's just the evolution of us as people that at some point, something's going to happen in your life that's going to shift the way that you once thought or shift a belief into something else. And that's something that I think most people don't grasp. It's this idea that you have to accept that there's change to come. And it could be a small change, it could be a big change, but there's going to be something. For me, the one thing that came up recently that relates to this idea of life being long and this idea of time is that I used to think I can just force myself to be productive as much of a day as possible, whether it's the 16 hours that I'm awake and trying to fill every hour with productivity and developing a project, or if it was trying to do as much as I could if I went to a conference and I ran to every seminar. I was always trying to fill every moment with something, some knowledge, some way of learning. And I never actually took the time to think about whether or not that was working for me. So imagine being at a conference and going from one room to another room, and you do that all day. I would say that for me, I would probably learn the most from the first two rooms that I attended, which would be 2 hours of time. The rest of the rooms that I go into are actually just draining my energy. And I think having that self-awareness about how you spend your time in a day and actually structuring it so that you could get the most out of a day is something that's important to talk about. Because for me, I'm now at a point where I take more breaks throughout my day to actually get away from everything I'm doing. And it's something that I didn't do when I was younger in my career. I would always try and do as much as I could, take on more responsibility at the firm, stay later, even though I'm salaried and not getting paid for it. I would always do all these things. And I felt like I was actually moving a needle forward. But when I reflect on those moments, it was actually detrimental because I didn't learn as much from those hours I was putting in beyond the amount of time I could be productive. And now I take moments in my day to go on a walk. And it's something that you do too. So I'm curious about that on your end, Mike. Have you felt like taking these breaks, taking these walks, and actually getting away from everything is helping you in some way through your day to help improve in your career or to help improve just mentally and physically so that you can stay productive and to continue producing and being better?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point and definitely something that I resonate with a lot. As you know, Tim, the weather has actually gotten warmer now, so I'm doing this more. But I try to walk about 10,000 steps a day or more. I know that you're more of an avid runner than I am. I don't run that often, but I do walk a lot. And I do that partially to reset and partially to maintain my health, you know. So when it comes to resetting, I actually am very deliberate about the kinds of things that I'm even listening to or not listening to as I walk. So I listen to a lot of different podcasts and audiobooks and things like that. But typically, I'm doing something that has nothing to do with anything that I am actually working on in that moment. So I'm listening to a podcast about video games, or I've been much more interested recently in financial podcasts for some reason, which is very nerdy. And they are things that really have nothing to do with the creative process directly, I should say, things that would be attributed to. So like, as an example, there are definitely architecture podcasts out there. I don't listen to those on a walk. If I'm going somewhere directly after I've been working all day for my 9-to-5 job, or if I'm about to be getting on to a Clubhouse room to talk about something related to architecture and design, I don't listen to things like that on my reset time, right? I deliberately try to take myself out of that situation, not as a way to escape from it, but as a way to really reset. I think of it almost like when you're having a really great meal and you have a palate cleanser that's sort of at the end of the meal to, whether it's between stages of a large meal or just at the very end, it's something to reset so that you can kind of walk away and sort of pursue something else. You can come back to things, but I think ultimately I use that as a way to reset for myself, because I just find that to constantly, and this is a trap that I've gotten into myself and pacing myself, when you're constantly only thinking about the thing that you're really creative about and thinking about it, it's always on your mind and you're not really thinking about anything else, that's where I get into trouble. And that kind of goes back to the original point of burnout and spreading yourself thin. And I resonate with that a lot. Do you use the time as a... This isn't necessarily something I was planning on talking about, but I think it's a great sort of jumping off point. I think something that helps pacing is to pursue things that are physically interactive. And I don't know if you get some feedback. I know you're really interested into rock climbing as a thing that you pursue that I don't pursue, but I would imagine it's very cleansing. Would you say that that's true?
Yeah, I would definitely say that's true. And the reason why I brought this up for this particular subtopic here about life is long, and the relationship that I'm drawing here is that we tend to, early on in our careers, try and fill every day with only the things that's on our mind. It's generally speaking, focusing around this idea of becoming a better architect or designer. And when it's around that idea, most people, including me, start our careers off by just spending all of our time every day on that thing. If you're in the bathroom taking a shower, you're listening to an architecture podcast. If you're on a walk or a run, you're listening to an architecture podcast. If you're working, you're doing two projects at the same time and trying to run a meeting. And when you're in a meeting, you're trying to draft while you're in the meeting. And so everyone's always trying to get better, 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 better. But what people don't understand is that productivity is so slim, and that everyone's brain needs some time away from that critical thinking task in order to do something else and reflect on what was done so that you can actually grow. So with the topic about life being long, the reason why I fill my days with designing, making, going on walks, going on runs, going rock climbing, spending time just watching a movie, spending time closing my eyes and just doing nothing for 15 minutes is because for me, that reset time is important. But what's more important is looking at how I want to live my life and what I want to include in it and breaking up my days to live as if my whole life was embedded within a day. And that includes physical activity. That includes eating healthy foods. And that also includes going and designing and continuing to better myself. But all of these things help each other because you need time away from each one in order for that muscle to get muscle memory and for it to actually repair and to grow.
Yeah, I think that's a really great sentiment. I think that we need time away from that thing that we're really pursuing. So if you identify as the book that we referenced before, The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan, if you understand what that one thing is that you want to pursue, it can consume you. And I think to not have filled your time constantly with it, I think is a very salient point, because one of the things that they even talk about is pursuing that one thing deliberately every day as a process, as a practice, and showing up in a way where you are making time for that thing and definitely going all in that moment that you carve out of your day for it, but also then surrounding that time with other things, right? So that you are not completely consumed with just that one thing because of the long tail of how these things sort of unravel over time or unpack themselves over time. So I want to shift to the next lesson here, or the next mini topic, which is sort of in the same vein, actually. It's kind of naturally going this way, where if we take time to pursue things in the moment that are other than, you know, maybe what our primary effort is, right? I think the thing that has helped me also think about the idea of these projects or these things that we can pursue, similar to the Charlie Gilkey book, is to treat your life in seasons. And I can't recall exactly where I saw this kind of idea, but I've been thinking about it a lot more as I get older. And if you imagine your life as a series of seasons, so you go from spring, summer, fall, winter. And I don't mean that there's literally only four seasons and then it's over. I mean it more as a sense that, you know, Tim and I think you could probably agree that we are in a different season of our lives probably than we were when we first started our blogs. You know, we have achieved a certain sense of ourselves that is different than that. Before that, I was pursuing getting my license. And before that, I was in college. And before that, it can relate to either milestone markers that are naturally in your life, like school or marriage, getting your first home, kids, a major accomplishment, or even, unfortunately, somebody passing away in your life that's really close to you. But I think that there's a way to think about how your life can be a series of these seasons where they will have a different, almost like flavor to them, a different sensibility to them. And that naturally, as you pursue different things, they'll take on the qualities of whatever that moment in time is. And going back to the topic of how we were thinking about stillness, when I think about the idea that my life is going to have so many different qualities to it over the course of my life, I actually really enjoy that idea and kind of lean into it, because there are things that I can't even anticipate yet, but I'm kind of, it like makes me excited to be alive, I guess is what I'm saying, because it's not one monotone, okay, this is going to be, I'm an architect and I'm going to be an architect for the rest of my life, but I'm going to be an architect who is pursuing different things, or I might, you know, eventually become something else more than an architect, and that's okay too. But I find that when I think about treating my life in seasons rather than literally just associating my life as one giant block, I feel like that also helps me. And I don't know if how you resonate with that, or if you have any ideas.
Yeah, you know, I like the idea of living my life as though each segment of it is a season. I've always thought about it from the book idea that everyone always has, where there's chapters in this book and you need to close some chapters to begin the next ones. But for me, I definitely do that in my life. And the best example I could think of is that when I was in high school, I was probably one of the most outgoing people who finally got out of my introvertedness and started hanging around with more people and making lots of friends. The moment that I graduated and went into architecture school, I had this weird perception that I had to live my life as though I was on track to becoming like the best architect ever. And as soon as I got in, for some reason, I isolated myself and retracted back into that introverted shell. And when I did that, I was just like you were, where everyone would be going out, partying, making these friendships that in my mind at the time were lifelong, but it's proven over time to not have been. And I didn't go out with anybody. I just stayed in the studio or in my room. And for my freshman year, I just kept developing things all the time. And I was pushing myself to learn. By the end of my entire college career, that entire chapter of my life, I would say, was spent in isolation, at least for undergraduate. Once I got into the master's program, I decided to change and just be myself and like talk to people and make this thing fun, because it became something that I actually didn't like. I felt like I was in it alone. And so I shifted my life at that moment into that next season, like you're talking about, where instead of just being isolated, I said, I'm going to join organizations in the school, talk to more students, host social events, and do all these things to meet more people. And in that moment, my life and my future actually grew exponentially, because I met professors who helped me get my first job. I met professors who put my name out there and helped me get a teaching position. And I met students who are now doing fantastic things across America and across the world. And so now for me, I think back to that. And for some reason, I graduated college. And when I entered the profession, I went back to how I was as a freshman. I went into the profession and I was quiet. I didn't talk to anyone. I didn't talk to my peers. And I'm still at the same firm. They don't even know too much about me. They don't even know that I speak at conferences. They don't even know that you and I have the podcast. Like, I, for some reason, didn't want to talk to anybody about my personal life. It was professional means you're professional. I don't want you to know about my life. I don't want you to know about anything else I do. I just want you to know that when I show up, I'm here and I do my work. And that has perpetuated until now. And I don't know how to change it. But what I do know is that every day that I'm there, I'm slowly showing more of myself. And I'm seeing that there are people who enjoy that part of me and that there are people who don't, because they can't accept my culture. They can't accept my background and they can't accept my tradition. And that to me was the reasons why I didn't want to show myself right away in a predominantly white profession. And now that people are knowing more about me and my background, I'm finding that that new season is about to start. And you and I talked about this, and this is what I'll end with on this particular sub lesson. We talked about this idea that Stefan Sagmeister does, where every 7 years, he actually breaks up this idea of retirement into his life. So every 7 years, he shuts down his design office and he takes 1 year to do a sabbatical, to do anything he wants to do, to rejuvenate, to learn new things and to grow as a designer and as a person. And for me, it's something that I'm planning to do in 2023, 2024, around then. And it's not the 7 years like he has where it's very standardized, but for me, I feel like that season is about to start. And that's exciting for me, because now that I know this about myself, I can actually see when that season will begin and I can be the one to change it into that season.
Yeah, I think that's really powerful, Tim. I resonate a lot with that, because in my mind, it's parallel. It's maybe not exactly the experience that I've had, but it's similar to little experiences that I've had where I have found myself more open to people as I get comfortable with them, you know? So like I am notorious, and you know, my wife Jess will tell anybody that like I don't really open up to people until I really know them. That's the same with my family. Like, I am not a very open person except to a very select few of people. Maybe the exception to that has come over time, where I feel very comfortable talking in a microphone for some reason and sharing ideas that are in some ways not even related to me, but they're just ideas that I've either experienced or come up with or developed, or maybe it's out of helping people. And I think the thing that I keep coming back to, though, is something that's similar to what you said, where it's you every now and then I find myself reverting to old Mike or a different kind of Mike. And to be perfectly honest, I think going back to the story that I told before, where I was in studio by myself and pursuing things and not really pacing myself well, also led to me being kind of arrogant Mike and Mike who was just like self-centered and not really, I've always tried to be empathetic to other people's situations, but I was definitely not in pursuit of helping people at that point in my life. I was more about helping myself pursue other goals. And I think that as time happens and you start to, as I've begun to pace myself more and transition from a chapter to the next, I think that's another sort of beautiful description or analogy is chapters or seasons go from one to the next. I've questioned a little bit here of what I want to be like as a person in that next season, in that next chapter, like actively try to, you don't necessarily know exactly, at least for me, where the season ends. And I think that's maybe why I treat it more like seasons than chapters, because for me, there is a blurred line, a blurred edge that is a transition point that you don't even know is happening in some cases. It's one day you wake up and you're in the next season. And I think that's what's beautiful to me about at least the way that my life has unfolded. I think one of the things to build on to go into the next mini lesson though, is that it really struck me as you were talking about how you were kind of open to people in some cases, and now when you started working, you reverted back to a different version of yourself and wouldn't talk to people. And it's like people at your office don't know a lot about you. But I found that as I have done the opposite over time and open myself to serendipity, open myself to the possibility of things. So this next topic I want to go into is create goals, create a vision for yourself, but be open to this idea of possibility or serendipity. And I think this builds on what you were talking about, because one of the most beautiful and sometimes frustrating qualities of life is for, call it luck, call it fate, call it serendipity, is to, it presents itself from time to time, leading us in a new direction, leading us in a new chapter. It can be a book that inspires you, a podcast, a person, an idea that enters sort of your life, and from an experience that you've had with that thing can change the trajectory of where you go from there. And building on what you were talking about, it made me think of how people have reached out to me as I pursued these other endeavors. So going back to all the way back to working with the local architecture organization of the American Institute of Architects in Buffalo, New York, I was putting myself out there. I was doing little seminars and webinars and meeting groups and things like that. And at one point you reached out to me, you had gone to one of these things and I didn't know who you were at all. You had gone to like one of these, meetups for the test for the architect exam that I was hosting. And then you reached out to me and then we met and then we ended up saying, hey, I like who you are. I like what you're about. And we ended up doing, I can't remember how long we did it for, but we created a mastermind group session that we did like basically like once a month to pursue our goals together. And then we started a podcast and now you've become sort of like my partner in crime. And like that serendipity of somebody being like introduced in your life and then having the acceptance to pursue something with that person or that idea can completely change the trajectory of where you are. Like I am a much better person, Tim, because you're in my life and because you are keeping me accountable for not just the creative things that we're doing, but just like the personal things that are going on in my life. So I kind of want to talk a little bit about how pacing yourself also has to do with accepting this idea of fate or serendipity, whatever you want to call it. And how do you feel like that has either affected or not affected your own life?
Yeah, I feel like that happened for me too, because when you and I met, it was during the time when we were starting a blog and I had no idea how to start a blog. And so you were helping me while I was helping you. And we both perceived each other as helping the other, as not being the ones helping the other person, but getting the most help from the other person. So from there, that serendipitous moment led to everything that we're doing now, which also helps us focus on the goals that we set. But for me, the important side of that relationship that we've developed is that I'm not afraid to tell you, Mike, you're not really going towards the goal you were telling me. And you do the same thing for me, because we know each other so well that we can just tell each other that and feel comfortable doing so. For me, the other aspect of creating goals that has changed over time is that I actually used to set goals with a clear vision to work towards it for like an architecture project, as an example. Nowadays, as you know, I come up with the projects that I make for my YouTube channel the week that I'm going to make it. Because in that week, I just walk around my neighborhood, or I go for a run, or I go rock climbing. And I'm like, what do I want to make this week? What does my mind want to make? What is it that I read in the news that has influenced me? What is it that I've done recently that I would change? What is it that I can see as improving the world, whether it's about sustainability or something else? What are some ideas I've always wanted to pursue? And I start to take these other goals and these other things and I hodgepodge it. I just create this soup. And through that, I come up with an idea for that week and I just decide, you know, this is going to be the project. And to me, I have so much more fun doing that than to have a rigid goal with very set milestones like you and I used to have. And I know you used to have more of those than I did, but I felt like I was constricting myself to the point of suffocation.
Yeah, and I think just to build on what you're saying, I think you've actually become more open to possibilities and serendipity or luck or what have you, or the way that like life interacts with you in the way that you pace yourself way more than I ever have. You've like flipped the switch, you know, you've become that person who I plan a lot, as you know, and I plan a lot into the future. And I think I've tried to break some of those barriers down as well so that I'm not as rigid with the decisions that I'm making. I think that's something that goes hand in hand with pacing yourself, is being able to create a goal or a vision. So I think of this quote, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't recall the source, but it's, you know, set a goal. If the goal, let's say, don't change the goal, change the way that you, like, keep the goal in place. If something happens to in the middle of that, change, it's okay that the way that you get there changes. So as an example, we've been talking a lot about how I want to help creative professionals design their best life. And I think that I've always generally had that as a kind of why, as a kind of pursuit in my own life. It's just changed over the course of time. So as an example, I'm in the middle of changing, I'm about to basically get rid of the blog that I've had for the last several years and like almost start over. And that's because my goal has been to help people, and maybe the nuance of how I perceive that has changed, but that goal hasn't really changed. Just the method of how I get to that goal has become more nuanced over time. And I accept that as like a longer term vision. So if you're talking about more of your like day-to-day, you pursue project based on how you feel that week or something you saw in the news or something that, you know, is changing or inspiring you, I feel the same way about kind of my longer term visions as well. Like, I don't think that I've fundamentally changed necessarily, except maybe once in my life. And that has helped me kind of with the pacing of myself as well. Like, you create these goals, but you're flexible. You know, maybe that's a good word to use for it. You're flexible of like how you achieve those goals. And I really like the way that you were saying about the how things inspire you day to day. Cause I don't think I ever actually realized that that's what you were doing, but it's very clear to me as you're saying that.
Yeah, I always try and take a moment to think about what it is in my life that I'm trying to do. And, you know, the last thing I wanted to say about this mini lesson that relates to what you were just talking about is my approach to how I look at my goals and how I determine them to be complete and or achieved. For me, there was a moment in time when I used to always have this vision board, but it wasn't physical. It was mental. It was like, I know these are the things I want. But I had a moment in time where I reflected on those wants. And I realized that things like, I want to be a millionaire and things like that weren't actually goals that I had conceived of on my own and agreed to. They were things that I've always seen as I was growing up. And because of that, I was setting myself up to live a life, to achieve a goal and a set of goals that other people put out in front of me. So the moment that I actually took time to reflect on what it means to me to live a meaningful life, it was the moment that I realized I don't even know what I actually truly want. And so for me, the serendipitous moments in my life make my life worth living. And that's something that I realized later in my life. With that in mind, my goals aren't actually very clear about where I want to be when I'm old. Instead, they're very clear in terms of I want to be comfortable financially. That's the goal. It's a comfortable goal, right? It's something that I know I can get to because comfort changes with time. But when you and I talk about an annual goal, that's where I get very specific. So I actually flip-flop the way I used to think about my goals so that my annual goals are so specific, they're hyper-specific, but my broader goal of what I want to do in my lifetime is open to serendipity because that allows me to live my days and accept if I don't hit my annual goal without being too harsh on myself. And it helps me learn and evolve as a person.
Yeah, I think that's a really wonderful way of thinking about it. And we haven't really talked or dived too deeply into goal setting here, but I think you've touched on something that is really important where the idea of a goal of your life, I wouldn't even necessarily call it a goal for me. It's just like a mindset more than anything where I have, as I've gone from similar to what you were talking about before, Tim, where you maybe thought you wanted to be like the best architect in the world I've had similar visions for myself and I've had similar visions of how my life is going to go and what's going to happen and things like that. And I've had those as quote unquote goals. But I feel like the mindset of constantly improving who I am as a person, whether that's through wellness, learning more about different things that I'm interested in, learning about things I have no idea about, but using those to broaden my horizons, I feel like my overall life goals are about that, about evolving well over the course of my life. And whatever that means, it's kind of open to interpretation. It's open to serendipity. It's open to anything. But I really liked your point about having, and this goes again back to the start finishing mindset where you have these very hyper specific goals that you're working on to move the needle forward, to get you moving in a well-paced, you know, a year is a good way to have a goal. You could do it even, you know, more frequently than that, maybe even just have it as 6 months or every month you set out and you want to do one thing towards a larger goal that year, setting up the steps for that goal. I think that there are nuances to and hierarchy to the way that we think about how we set goals for ourselves. But I think overall creating goals and being open to the serendipity in the longer term, I think is what really helps us achieve these broader things that we didn't even anticipate. And actually, for me, it makes life much better and more enjoyable to live. I feel like I enjoy the process more when I just kind of let go of the big picture in some ways, but I'm very focused on the day-to-day or the week-to-week kind of nature of everything. And I wanted to kind of go into this last sort of subtopic that I had here for our talk today. And we touched on it a little bit, but I really wanted to dive a little bit deeper on it because I think it's important in the conversation of pacing yourself, bringing it all around, going back to the idea that I had sort of overextended myself into different pursuits and burned myself out. I have found that in order to pace myself, I need to take care of myself. And I think of my overall wellness in terms of my my mind and body's ability to thrive based on the high quality of exercise, rest, nutrition that I get. And if you think about it this way, you will function at your best when that engine that you use to live is in the best condition possible. It's the same idea of maintaining a car, I think is a really clear analogy for people. If you let your car deteriorate, it's not going to get you anywhere. If you don't change the oil, if you don't refuel it, if you don't take it in for a regular maintenance, it's going to end up like in the junkyard. And you need to treat your body with that same kind of respect in terms of how you, maintain the high level of performance in your life. So as an example, when I burned out, I was very overweight. I had high blood pressure. I had more anxiety. I was depressed. I had all these things that were going wrong with me, and they were because I wasn't pacing myself. So the pace at which I was working and living affected my wellness. And then that became this sort of nightmarish cycle for me where, because I wasn't taking care of myself, that added to the stress that I had with the work that I was working on. And I just kept, you know, almost like trying to work harder to get through it, even though that's not really a thing. You know, I think the thing that has kept me streamlined, and even when I recently, as you know, Tim, underwent sort of another bout with burnout recently in my life, I was able to sort of understand the things that would get me back to neutral, right? Get me back to that place where I could understand how to pace myself. I think when you're in a series of burnout or you're in a series of situations where you're not taking care of yourself, it's very difficult to understand in that moment that you need to stop and actually take care of yourself. So I kind of want to get your take on either how you pursue those things, because I know that I would call you a generally healthy person. And what are the things that, you know, you think about when it comes to wellness and maybe in relation to pacing yourself?
Yeah, I think for this point here, there's only one thing that I could really think of that has helped me. And it was this idea of learning to give myself permission throughout my day, my week, my months to take time off and do something totally unrelated to the daily things that I'm doing. If it's designing and designing architecture and designing products, I need to give myself permission in a day to go out and do something else, or to go away from my desk, or to watch a movie from beginning to end. Because I used to watch Netflix movies and others from beginning to end with a laptop, a phone, an iPad next to me. And as I was watching the movie with my fiance, I would always sit there and constantly do work. So I was always trying to multitask because I felt like I needed to do it. I felt like it was necessary for me to sit there and to actually do work as I'm trying to watch a movie, because I felt so bad for taking the time to watch something instead of taking the time to continually develop a project. And I've learned that if I give myself that permission and I could be all in on watching a movie or all in on climbing or all in on running, that the moment I'm done with that task, I can actually get back to what I was originally trying to do with a much more positive mindset and a lot more energy to do it. Just think about a time when you were so busy on a project that you were just doing that project from day to night. And all of a sudden you're like, you know what? I'm just going to do this thing for like 2 hours and I'm not going to worry about that project. And you get back to that project and you realize that the world didn't end and that there's so much more that you could do now that you took that 2 hours of rest to do something unrelated, that now you can actually do the best on that project that you were setting out to do in the first place.
Yeah, I think that the point is well taken, because we need that time to do other things, right? And part of that is to, I found for myself, to just pursue things that I'm interested in, just so that I'm not a one-note person to a degree. Also, I don't want to be a one-note human being. I feel like we all have interests that are make the nuance in our lives much more vibrant. And I think that the other thing that you were touching on that I resonated with specifically was, if you think about how our, even think about sleep and think about how our minds kind of almost reset and kind of process things as we dream, as we sleep. And it's a similar process when we go through and we take a break from the thing that we're pursuing. So let's say you're solving a problem in a project, right? And you are completely not sure at all what the solution is, right? Taking that time to be all in, as you said, Tim, deliberately putting yourself in a different situation that has nothing to do with that thing can sometimes help you stumble upon what the solution might even be. I think that that's happened a lot for me, where if I give myself that permission to do something else, whether it's to go for a walk or play a video game with intention, watch a movie, hang out with my wife, like to do something that is completely unrelated to a creative pursuit, related to writing or design or architecture or what have you, I find that I do come back refreshed as a, it also gives me something to be excited about. I think sometimes when we push ourselves too much in that one thing, it's not that I'm not appreciative or don't want to do that thing. It's not the same as when we were talking about the dip earlier. It's more about just getting energized, like you said, and like really being almost excited to like sit down at the keyboard or the drawing board or whatever and pursuing that thing. So when I say take care of yourself to do better things, to do more meaningful things, I mean it more from, it's not necessarily a specifically a nutrition, health, mindset, wellness, but it's like you're saying, Tim, where you're giving yourself that permission to pursue other things, to be a more well-rounded person. And it's a mindset shift to let yourself be human, I think is ultimately what pace yourself overall is, as a theme for myself that I would go back and tell younger Mike, hey, pace yourself. This is going to be a long journey, and it's something that you can pursue with passion, pursue with excitement, and be excited to do all these different things in your life. But you know, going back and kind of summarizing what we talked about earlier, Tim, I think the many lessons that I took from this and that I wanted to bring to the overall discussion were, trying to do all the things at once will lead to either mediocrity or burnout, and neither is where you want to be. Learn to embrace the stillness, live in the moment instead of pressuring the future to happen in the perfect way. Life is long. There will be enough time to waste or to taste many different things deliberately. Treat your life in seasons or chapters. Create goals that work for you over the course of your life, but be open to serendipity, and take care of yourself to do more profound, meaningful, and better things. Before we close here, Tim, I wanted to know if there was anything else that you could think of that would be helpful to the audience, or if you feel like we've covered a lot of different things today.
I feel like we covered a lot, and that I actually learned so much more about myself through this long form conversation about these lessons. I think it was a fantastic set that you put together, and I'm glad that we went over them at the end here. So I think this is a good point to end the episode on. So thanks for joining us today, guys. And next time, remember to join us where I'll be talking about speaking with clarity. And that's the lesson that I would tell myself if I could go back in time. Is there anything else you wanted to end on, Mike?
No, I think that's great. And I'm really excited to hear that conversation and be part of that. So looking forward to it.
All right. Thanks for joining us today, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. Check us out anytime at unpackingdesign.com.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.